J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
You can torture me with Donnie and Marie. You can play some Barry Manilow. Or you can play some schlock like New Kids on the Block. Or any Village People song you know. Or play Vanilla Ice. Hey, you could play them twice. And you can play the Bee Gees any day. But Mr. DJ, please, I'm begging on my knees. I just can't take no more of Billy Ray.
Don't play that song, that achy breaky song, the most annoying song I know. And if you play that song, that achy breaky song, I might blow up my radio.
You can clear the room by playing Debbie Boone, or crank your Apple Records until dawn. Oh, I could even hear Slim Whitman or Zamfir. Don't mind a Yoko Ono marathon.
Or play some Tiffany on 8-track or CD.
Or scrape your fingernails across the board. Or tie me to a chair and kick me down the stairs. Just please don't play that stupid song no more.
Don't play that song, that achy breaky song. You know I hate that song a bunch. And if you play that song, that nauseating song, it might just make me lose my lunch. Don't play that song, that achy breaky song, I think it's driving me insane. Oh, please don't play that song, that irritating song. I'd rather have a pitchfork in my brain. Don't play that song, that achy breaky song, the most annoying song I know. And if you play that song, that achy breaky song, I might blow up my radio.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Thursday, March 24th, 2023, opening day, 7 days away. So it's a good thing we're getting all this shit weather out of the way for the next couple of days, and the field will be nice and green by Thursday. Cross your fingers, hope to die. Rain, flooding, big hail, late night, and then overnight. The biggest wave of this looks like it's going to hit about 8 o'clock tonight, and then it will rain on and off, and frankly, pretty much on through Saturday morning. So if you got anything to do, I sure hope it's inside. But they've accentuated the idea of big hail, meaning like quarter-size hail. And again, the biggest wave of this, there's going to be waves going throughout the course of the day, but the big stuff hits at about 8 o'clock tonight. That's what they're saying. That's what they think. So opening day a week away, get all this rotten weather out of the way and bring out the sunshine and the warm temperatures for next Thursday. Of course, we'll do our big baseball home opener extravaganza right here on the J.C. Corcoran podcast. Speaking of sports, that thing with David Perron the other night, that was really classy stuff. And you could tell David Perron was really, really taken by it and the whole crowd there. But what you may not have noticed is that Perron's new teammates on the bench, they were all tapping their sticks and everything too and all standing. So they knew, you know, it really, really got to everybody the other night. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. The Blues organization is one of the best run and I guess you would say these people have such big hearts. I saw this, you know, 25 years ago with Doug Wickenheiser when he passed away, and the way the Blues organization really stepped up to build the 14 fund and to take care of Diane, Doug's widow, and, you know, his beautiful three daughters. And it was just really, really something to see the way they stepped up. You know, the backstoppers for the police and firemen, those that's a really, really big deal too. There's really, really good people that are still out there. You just have to find them. March Madness continues. 4 games tonight, 4 games on Friday, and then we get ready for the big show. Cardinals have another spring training game today, but I want to point this out because it may take you by surprise. The Cardinals on Sunday morning will play the Houston Astros at 10:05 a.m. St. Louis time. That is 10:05. The dew isn't even off the grass at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I know that because I play on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. And every time the ball goes in the grass, you have to throw it out and get a fresh ball because it's soaking wet. But 10:05, that's nuts. And then they have one more game in Sarasota on Monday against the Orioles. I'm going to be at that game. And then they turn things around and get ready for a couple of workouts at Busch Stadium, and off we go. The big story today is not Donald Trump for a change. The big story is Capitol Hill, where the big shot from TikTok is going to show up and get grilled by a congressional subcommittee. I don't think that it's going to be very pretty. I think they're going to be all over this guy. And I know he's going to say, all right, he's going to say, all social media, it doesn't matter, Facebook, Twitter, they're harvesting information about all of the users. They're going, yeah, except that you guys are owned by China. So we have a foreign adversary collecting information on us with TikTok. That's not the way it is with Twitter. That's not the way it is with Facebook. If my voice sounds a little funny, a little thin here today, it's the steroids talking. Got another shot in my hip yesterday. I'm trying to avoid a hip replacement, and it's probably inevitable, but I'm just not ready to do it right now. I'm having fun playing baseball down here, and I, you know, a hip replacement. So about every 3 or 4 months, I get these cortisone shots in my hip. I don't even look at the doctor when he comes in because I'm afraid I will see the needle. I saw the needle once. It appeared to be about 8-9 inches long. I don't want to see that. And I don't know what it is because, you know, sometimes when you're sick, try to get over the flu or something, they'll give you something with steroids in it. Or if you're having, you know, back trouble or whatever it is, they'll give you, you know, something with steroids in it. And I don't know if it does it to you, but it does it to me. It fucks up my voice. So if I sound funny today, that's why. Luckily, I got a lot of sound bites and clips to play for you. Oh, by the way, I started the show today with that Billy Ray Cyrus parody from Weird Al Yankovic because that song went to number one 31 years ago today in 1992. Billy Ray Cyrus. Stupidest fucking song I've ever heard in my life. And of course, America loved it. And Weird Al, who might be one of the coolest people I've ever interviewed in my life, said, oh, I can fuck with that song real easily. And so they let him do it. And so that's what you got. Pretty Woman hit theaters. Julia Roberts and Richard Gere, 33 years ago today, 1990. My 13-year-old daughter has seen the movie a couple of times. And I was very, very mixed emotions about it. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, we as parents want to think that there's some innocence going on with a 13-year-old girl. They know everything. They know it all. So I would make periodic comments throughout the course of the movie, basically saying, now you understand that this is not what this is really like. This is just a cleaned up movie to make it look like a love story. The prostitution thing, which you already know about. I know that you know, and you know that I know, and we know that each other know. And so, that's a different story. And she understands all that. Same thing with Friends. She is obsessed with Jennifer Aniston and the TV show Friends. She tapes them all day on the DVR. It was recorded. And then she sits and just watches them one after another. And I will watch with her on occasion, or if I'm working in the kitchen or something which overlooks the area where she sits and watches TV, I'll say, now, that that's not what she said. Yeah, I know. I understand. It's a situation comedy. I get it. I sure hope so. Billy Joel and Christy Brinkley were married in New York on this date in 1985. That marriage lasted until 1994. I'm going to tell you something. We love people who are pretty, and Christy Brinkley is pretty, but she, cray cray, she's really nuts. You may recall that years ago, this was it in Vail or somewhere in Colorado, I don't know, but she was in a helicopter that crashed, and she ended up marrying one of the guys who was on the helicopter with her. And I could go on. I could really, really go on. Titanic won 11 Oscars on this date, 1998, 25 years ago. Didn't like it then, don't like it now. And it was 40 years ago, 1983. This was right before I hit St. Louis. We were playing the Eliminator album in Buffalo, New York, 97 Rock in 83. Eliminator with Legs, Give Me All Your Love, and Sharp Dressed Man. A real departure for ZZ Top, using these former Playboy models. Gina Tomasina, who we've talked about before, was married to one of our pitchers. And I still remember we were set up in the lobby of the Overland Park Marriott back in 1985 following the disastrous outcome of the 85 World Series in Kansas City. And now we're sitting there on Monday thinking we're going to have this big celebration on Monday morning show in Kansas City. And instead it was like, walking into a morgue. And about 20 after 6, we're sitting there doing the show in the lobby, and Gina Tomasina does the walk of shame right past our broadcast table. We grabbed her, and she was very nice and gave us a nice interview and everything, and went back to wherever she was going. And as we discussed one morning when I was on the radio in Houston, Texas, a couple of years ago, and Dusty Hill, who we just lost about a year ago, was living in a place called The Woodlands, which was a pretty hefty drive from, he was way at the north end of Houston, we were sort of at the south end, but just drove in with his wife one day and sat with me on the air for about an hour, and we had a really nice conversation. And of course, I had to ask him about those Eliminator years, because it was at the time very controversial for them.
So from the time the band was conceived, right up until the early part of the 1980s, it was this sort of rough-looking rock and roll band, sort of on the scruffy side. Mm. And then somebody had the idea for the Eliminator album in 1983 to do a left turn. It was out of character for you guys. You had the Sharp Dressed Man and Legs videos for MTV. You had those little Playboy centerfolds, Gina Tomasina, sort of running around.
Your name.
Yeah, there's a blast from the past. And suddenly, instead of this following that you did have, you went mainstream with that. Yuppies, teenagers, everybody loved ZZ Top. Just tell me a little bit about how that whole idea of doing that video and those videos sort of changed the band. How was that for you guys?
Well, actually, it's conducive of everything we do. I mean, if we really plan something, it doesn't work. You know, what we do, I mean, when we started writing that album, Eliminator, we started playing around with new toys, what we call new instruments in the studio, and the sound started coming out. Now, at the time, there were a lot of people that were upset with us because they said we were not sticking to our roots or whatever.
They accused you of selling out.
Which is nonsense. You know, I mean, you play what you play. Anyway, Eliminator and Afterburner were kind of an extension of each other. Anyway, when we started doing the videos, I mean, we had absolutely no idea what we were doing. So I can remember when we met with the director, Tim Newman, Randy Newman's cousin. We said, look, we have this hot rod. Let's use some girls. That's what we write the songs about. And let's be more of observers here and play the song. And, you know, we're not a pretty boy band. You know, what we are is what we are. So take that and see what you can put together. And everything else just turned out on the set, you know. So that's the way we work, you know. And little hand gestures and whatnot just turned into people do it at airports. I'm going to say hand gestures is not just the middle finger. I mean, you know, little video stuff, you know. And so when the videos clicked, that was great. You know, we added to our fan base. Not, we didn't change. And it opened up a lot of other stuff. And then through the years, I look in the audience and see somebody like 16 next to somebody in their 60s. So great. You know, so we got a song for them too, you know, I mean, whichever one it is.
And
you know,
a footnote on those days too, 10 million copies of that album went. So that thing really, really resonated with people who were into music.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. There's a thing called a Diamond Award. And what you get is if you sell 10 million copies of one record, you get this Diamond Award. It's purely about sales. It's nothing else, not popular or anything. So when you're there getting this award, you know, it's like, here's Megadeth, and there here's Kenny G, you know. I mean, it's just the room. It's like the strangest room. You know, I'm sitting over there talking to Kenny Rogers. You know, like I said, some guy just had a, you know, some sort of nail through his tongue, you know. So, I mean, it, you know, it just doesn't matter, you know. So that was, yeah, that was a very successful record for us.
Could not have been a nicer guy, by the way. And as I said, as we all know, we lost him. I guess it was, what, just about a year ago. All right, you knew this was coming. Gisele Bündchen was going to spill her guts, and she did in a Vanity Fair cover story, and turns out it's not very juicy at all. It wasn't about politics. They just grew apart over the years, her and Tom Brady, and she's not dating any of the people that the tabloids have said she's dating, including the jiu-jitsu instructor. Dick Van Dyke is 97 years old. He's still driving. At least for now, he lost control of his car the other day and messed up his face. He was bleeding. He refused to go to the hospital. But he's 97, and it does. But they're going to make him take a driver's test again and maybe some cognitive stuff. I don't know. I mean, I don't know about a 97-year-old guy driving. I love Dick Van Dyke. Everybody loves Dick Van Dyke. I'm not sure I want him driving near me. We were talking about Jennifer Aniston a moment ago. She and Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore want to do a movie together to, quote, put an end to this competition. People often compare who is the better love interest for Adam since they've both done several movies with him. People adore Adam Sandler. That's another guy I interviewed a couple of times. Couldn't be nicer. It's one of those things where people are a lot more interested, it seems, in bad behavior by movie stars, television stars, comedians, stuff like that. And it helps to remind everybody that once in a while you do run into people who are really, really quite nice. All right, Cheech and Chong are getting their own biopic. Devo, there's a documentary in the works on that. Netflix making a Kiss biopic called Shout It Out Loud. No word yet as to who's going to play the guys. Sly Stone releasing his memoir in the fall. This artificial intelligence thing and the ChatGPT and then the deep fakes and all this stuff coming down. There was an expert, one of these guys that got on the news last night. He said in 2 years, the truth and the fake stuff is going to be indistinguishable. You'll watch something on the internet, for example. You will have no idea whether or not it's real or fake, and we will lose our ability to determine and to distinguish the difference between the real stuff and the fake stuff. And if you're not concerned about that, I can't help you. We are opening up a can of worms here, and that's been the history of this country, that technology always, always is really, really far ahead from regulatory systems that are in the best interest of pretty much everybody. When people glanced at this story for just a moment, it may have looked worse than it was. The Blackhawks not going to wear Pride warm-up jerseys before Sunday. They do a Pride night game. All of the National Hockey League teams, you know, do that. The Cardinals do that. Everybody does that. Leave people alone. But the Blackhawks aren't doing it. But it turns out they have some Russian players. And when the season's over, those Russian players got to go home. And in Russia, it is illegal to promote homosexuality. So in theory, if these guys wore the Pride warm-up jerseys, they go back home for the summer and they could get arrested. It's how fucked up Russia is right now, like I got to tell you. But anyhow, back to this artificial intelligence thing. Jimmy Fallon did a good bit about it the other night, talking about this chat GPT, because Google has announced they're in on the game now, too.
Google just released their own artificial intelligence chatbot called Bard. Did you hear about this? Yeah, but people have noticed that Bard makes a lot of mistakes and is less accurate than ChatGPT. So we decided to test them out by asking them both the same questions, okay? For instance, if you ask, what do humans need to survive? ChatGPT said, food, water, and shelter, while Bard said, fuego, chili, lime, takis. Look at this next one. When you ask, what are the opening lines of the national anthem? ChatGPT says, oh, say, can you see by dawn's early light? But Bard says, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Next, when you ask what is considered the worst sequel of all time, ChatGPT says The Godfather Part 3. The Bard says Don Jr. Here's another one. When you ask what are the three branches of government, ChatGPT says legislative, executive, and judicial. But Bard says diners, drive-ins, and dives. And finally, when you ask if 3x minus y equals 12, what is the value of 8 to the power of x divided by 2 to the power of y? ChatGPT says 2 to the power of 12, while Bard says, ask ChatGPT.
It's been a great week for The Daily Show. I pretty much stopped watching it because it just wasn't, if Jordan Klepper was doing a piece, then I would watch it. If there was something that really, really, you know, pinned the needle, as they say, then I'd go back and watch it. But I stopped watching it every night. Well, they had a really, really good week with Al Franken hosting.
Okay, let's kick things off with my home state of Minnesota, which just became the fourth state in the union to guarantee free school lunch to every single That's a pretty good feel good story in Minnesota, right? Well, one Republican state senator didn't think so.
Mr. President, I have yet to meet a person in Minnesota that is hungry. Yet today. I have yet to meet a person in Minnesota that says they don't have access to enough food to eat. Now, I should say that hunger is a relative term, Mr. President. You know, I had a cereal bar for breakfast. I guess I'm hungry now.
The bad news is this is a guy who we call in Minnesota a big jerk. You know, the great thing is we've got 10,000 lakes we can throw this gosh darn jerk into. Sorry, I went off the deep end there, but this guy's clearly a jerk. And I don't know why this guy is being so stingy. There's a simple solution here. Every year at the Minnesota State Fair, they always carve a giant butter sculpture of Princess Kay of the Milky Way. So why don't we take that sculpture and shove it up the guy's ass?
Yeah, there's something beautiful about the simplicity of just saying you want to shove something up some guy's ass. Oh, man. Like I said, though, it was a really, really good week for Al Franken. And last night, Jordan Klepper. What can you say? The guy is amazing. I don't know how he does this. So you know the story. Donald Trump says they're going to arrest me. So we go out there and protest. So the NYPD is putting up barricades. They're boarding up windows. They're afraid that there's going to be another January 6th. And people show up, like the media shows up to cover this thing. There's like six people.
Last week, Donald Trump declared his arrest was imminent and called for a protest to take our nation back outside the Manhattan District Attorney's office. So yesterday, I ventured all the way downtown and joined the media circus to observe this crowd of MAGA protesters who were definitely around here somewhere.
Yeah, this is the Truth Social here. It says,
Tuesday, protest, take our nation back. Excuse me, is this the protest for Trump? Or the Trump protest, or the supporting, are we taking our nation back? Is that today? I thought it was today. So I did have the day right. And then I found a proud and totally concealed Trump supporter. Why are you here?
Because I'm here to support Trump, because they want to indict him.
So Trump went on his own social media, yeah, and he called out people, his supporters, to come out here and support him. And right now, that's just you.
I'm here.
Heavy as a crowd.
I don't need you to come outside. No, I got this.
Okay.
I'm here to actually see what's going on. Everyone was talking about it, so I came here to check it out.
You wanted to see it with your own eyes.
Eyes, that's right, because I don't believe what I'm hearing on the news media.
So what have you seen so far?
Absolutely almost nothing.
Nothing.
Correct.
This was an unusual MAGA rally. The numbers were low, and it was in my own city. However, the arguments over some basic facts were refreshingly familiar. Do you think it's fair for Trump to be indicted if that does happen this week?
Listen, I don't know all the specific facts, but what I do know is he's my president.
Right now?
I think he's my president.
You think he's serving the role as your president currently?
Well, he's... In my heart, he's my president.
I just have to be clear sometimes.
Well, sure, sure.
You think Joe Biden is president, right?
No, I think that man is a scam. I just know that allegedly he's there, because that man doesn't make any sense to me.
But technically, he is there. He is serving the role of president.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't been to Washington, D.C. I've not seen him walk in the White House.
You don't think he actually spends time in the White House?
I don't know.
Well, there are videos of him in the White House. I just want to get beyond this fact. He is the president of the United States. Donald Trump was the president of the United States. Fact?
That's what some say.
Oh, okay. This is what some say. Right. Deborah, why are you here today?
Joe Biden is going after him because I don't even know why he's going after him, because they're going to push him out the door and probably bring Michael Obama in, okay?
Michael Obama.
That's correct, okay?
They made. Why do you call her Michael
don't
Obama?
Don't ask me that. What did Joan Rivers say?
What did Joan Rivers say?
That's correct. If anybody remember what she said.
Do you get most of your news from Joan Rivers?
Oh, no, I don't get none of my news from Joan Rivers. I'm just telling you what she said about Michael Obama, okay?
Regardless of their sources, the MAGA crowd, which the police estimated to be between 3 and 6 people, believe these charges were unworthy of a former president.
I don't feel Trump should be in trouble. That's unconstitutional. I feel to indict a president.
This is a political attack.
Yes.
They're not charging somebody else for this crime.
Yes. Everything is political.
Right. They did charge somebody else with this exact crime.
Yeah. And so why should he be charged?
Well, Michael Cohen was charged, pled guilty, served time in jail.
Disloyalty. If it ain't loyalty, it's nothing.
This is about a man who cheated on his wife with a porn star while his wife was at home with their newborn son. But loyalty is a big issue for you.
Listen, we met.
Right. So we all know Trump doesn't understand how the law works. Turns out he doesn't know when it works either. But for MAGA supporters feeling FOMO about missing the Donald showdown with justice, I'm confident you'll get another chance. How long are you going to be here today?
I don't know. Maybe a couple more hours, walk around, mm-hmm, grab something to eat.
If Trump is indicted in Georgia next, you going there?
I don't know. Maybe I will.
Sure. It's like a big old indictment tour, right? I'll see you in Georgia. Maybe we'll swing by D.C.
The guy's incredible. The guy's incredible. All right, birthdays today. Carrie Russell. Felicity is 47. That show didn't get credit for how good it was. First two seasons of Felicity were actually really good. And Carrie Russell, just so easy on the eyes. 47 today. John Wayne Babbitt. Interesting that he's still considered a celebrity, or that he was ever considered a celebrity. Got his dick cut off. 56. Richard Grieco. Dennis Booker. 21 Jump Street. 58 today. Hope Davis, one of our more underrated actresses. Rent a movie called Next Stop Wonderland. If you like indie movies, this is one of the better ones that I could recommend. It's so good. It's so good, and very few people know about it. Next Stop Wonderland with Hope Davis. She's 59 today. Just real briefly, Hope Davis plays a young nurse who's having trouble with guys, and her mother, played by Holland Taylor, who's great in everything, decides to take on an ad in a Boston newspaper, but she fills it out like it's her daughter filling it out. And then she posts the thing in the paper, and her daughter is just mortified by the whole thing, just mortified. But after a couple of weeks, she's just like sitting there on a Saturday night with nothing to do, and just for the hell of it, just figures, you know, curiosity just got to her. So she figures, all right, I'm just going to go to this, you know, phone mailbox thing. This is the movie like 20 years ago. Go to this phone mailbox thing, and I'll just sort of see if anything came in. It was like 67 messages from guys, and she's just blown away by this whole thing. 67? So she starts meeting some of these guys, and I'm just going to stop the story right there. There's a really funny subplot about a missing fish from an aquarium. Robert Klein, the comedian, plays the mayor of Boston, and there's a couple of unknowns in the movie. There's a flash or two of Philip Seymour Hoffman as the ex-boyfriend, but this is Hope Davis and Holland Taylor's movie, and I'm telling you, if you want to see a really, really well-made indie pick, this is it. Next Stop Wonderland. Jim Carrey's sister Dee Dee on Kidding. Trish and the 40-year-old virgin. Allison Williams' creepy, hypnotizing mom in Get Out. Katherine Keener, 64. Today, Amanda Plummer from Pulp Fiction, 66. Shaka Khan, cannot say it just once. When she was 15 years old, she played one of my homecoming dances on the southwest side of Chicago. She's 70 today. I remember this day back in 1985, the movie Mask with Cher and Eric Stoltz appeared in theaters. 1985 was the year. I still remember I took my beautiful, beautiful, lovely friend Liz Tillman to that movie with me. Jefferson in Paris. This was a Nick Nolte movie that almost nobody saw. We were in L.A. for that, but then they piggybacked another movie on it and said, yeah, there's this, remember the chick from Speed? I go, Sandra Bullock? They're like, yeah. She's in this movie called While You Were Sleeping. And so we saw that movie and did the interviews too, and I interviewed Sandra Bullock for the very first time. She's a lot of fun, by the way, and very pretty in person, and just, you know, always looking for the joke, always looking for some way to sort of screw around. We've made interviews with her just fantastic.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Actress Sandra Bullock on her movie Practical Magic.
What kind of a Halloween kid were you?
My mother made our costumes. And then as I got more extravagant with my ideas, my father had to start building them.
How extravagant can a Halloween costume get that dad has to be brought in, like with a blowtorch?
I love candy corn. And so I decided I wanted to be
here it comes
the
folks.
Human candy corn. So he built this huge candy corn and had these straps where when I flashed the flashlight, it said trick or treat. And it had a little flap door.
How do you carry a candy?
It was attached to the inside of the door where people put in the flap. I won.
By the way, who admits to loving candy corn? No, she's a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun. And I alluded to this a little bit yesterday on the show, but this was the actual date. So I'll sort of fill in the blanks here. As we pointed out yesterday, we were talking about the Bob Richards thing. You know, he fucked up. He was cheating on his wife and, you know, he had this girlfriend down in Farmington and they stopped seeing each other and it didn't go well. The story went public and, you know, the TV station said, okay, look, Bob, we're not going to fire you or anything like that, but you can't do stuff like this. So, you know, pull it back in. And it looked like it was going to calm down. It was like 3, 4, 5 days where the story about the order of protection sort of settled to the ground and it looked like maybe the whole thing was going to blow over. But two of the most disgusting people I have ever encountered in this business or out of this business decided that they weren't going to just sort of let this drop. And I don't know how this happened. Courtney Landrum became this darling of St. Louis media because as far as I'm concerned, she as much as anybody else in this whole thing involved with that radio station at the time, and she was the producer of their show, I believe that they have blood on their hands because they resurrected this whole thing after 4 or 5 days and contacted the woman, and she starts playing the answering machine messages that Bob had left on the woman's answering machine down there in Farmington. The whole thing blew up again. Bob comes on TV that night. Karen Foss disses him live on the air. Just absolutely disgusting what the way Karen Foss handled it. Had the audacity, by the way, after the tragedy, to come on the air a couple of days later and do this tearful farewell to her former colleague. I wanted to put my foot right through the television, then put my foot right through her fucking mouth. But as many of you will recall, we were at the River at the time, 1994, and I was working with Matushka Lindo, who was married, still is married to Malcolm Briggs, who was a sportscaster on Channel 5. So after all of this, phone rings 3 a.m. That can never be good news. And it wasn't. And most of the media, including Channel 5, and all the TV stations come on that morning, and they do not identify who the victim was. And we did, because we knew that, you know, the family had already been notified, obviously. And even though there had not been a positive forensic identification of Bob's body, because there was, if you saw the pictures, there was like nothing left. But we knew it was him. And so we went with the story and called this thing what it was. The people at that radio station absolved themselves of any responsibility whatsoever. But Bob was a sweet guy. He was a fun guy. Obviously, you know, the years, along with Mike Bush, working the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Labor Day Telethon. Bob was funny on TV. He was a good weatherman. He was a nice guy. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, he fucked around and he found out. Well, yeah, in a way, that's true. But at the same time, do you know how many guys are fucking around? Especially high profile people. I mean, I think we know a lot. This was 1994. It's 29 years ago. We know now that if you're a man and you're in any sort of position of power, and that means professional athlete, professional entertainer, sports figure, politician, if you're a man and you have power, you've probably got some side action. You know, I'm not very close to the St. Louis Cardinals these days. I mean, just the logistics obviously is a problem. But back in the 80s, we were really, really close to the guys. Well, first of all, our ages were a lot closer. There's a 40-year age gap between how old I am and how old the players are now. But back then, we were all approximately the same age. And that helped a lot in terms of our ability to sort of relate to the players. And we knew quite a few of them on a, you know, first name basis. You know, guys knew who we were. They would give us good interviews and stuff. I still remember I went down to St. Petersburg to Al Lang Stadium years ago and did that half hour special. And the guys knew me. And so, you know, everybody from Terry Pendleton, Tony Pena, Tom Herr, Tom Bernanski, who was involved in the trade, John Morris, outfielder. We knew Ozzy, Ken Daly. We knew all these guys. We were with the team in Chicago one year, and don't ask me why I was up at 3 a.m., but I was. I was coming back from something, and I'm just, I don't know, milling around in the lobby of the Cardinals Hotel. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I saw one particular, shall we say, very fast Cardinals player get on the elevator with two women of very, very questionable background. It would be fair to say, without casting aspersions on anybody specifically, it would be fair to say that almost all of these guys had something going on the side. That's right. Your beloved St. Louis Cardinals. We now know that, politicians, everybody's got something going on the side. Almost all the guys do. And let's face it. I mean, let's be honest about it. Let's call it what it is. Women are attracted to men of power and influence. And if they know you got a lot of money, and most of these people do, most of these men do, well, you start looking real good to some of these women who are out there looking for a good time. So before you start throwing stones at a guy like Bob Richards, I think you have to get real about this stuff. What he did was wrong. I'm not defending him. What he did was wrong. He fucked around. He found out. The people from that radio station would not let him up off the mat. And the phone rings at 3 o'clock in the morning and Bob's dead. So I thought to finish off the podcast today, we would remember Bob from a happier time and one of the very first food and cash salvation bash events. Here it is.
And it's time for a new tote. Hit it. Hour number 18 of the Food and Cash Salvation Bash at Chesterfield Mall. 10,743 pounds of food, $42,494. Thank you very much. And I didn't know he was multi-talented. I thought it was just the accordion, but it's also the trombone, Mr. Bob Richards.
JC,
You know, it's a pleasure. This is my third year here, and it's always a pleasure to be here and to see you and to see what you're doing for the Salvation Army. But to come here tonight on a night when the wind chill is about 40 below and to look out upon the masses and see a computerized banner that says Bob Richards Accordion Fan Club, I am truly touched tonight. I'm moved. You know them as the News Brothers, but only half the team is out here now. Please welcome to the band on tambourine and anything else you can find, Mr. Mike Bush.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.